Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks. This is Carl. We are on the radio here today for the next 90 minutes, and this is our Bible study on Freedomizer Radio. And before I go any further, let me give a phone number out in case you want to call and ask a question or make a comment. It'll be 319 area code 527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. And that is toll-free from a landline or a cell phone in continental United States. And obviously you'd be listening to this without without your phone, although you could dial in and just listen without taking part in the program, but you can take part in the program. After you do get connected to the program, if you want to make a comment or ask a question or speak to me on any for any reason, you just hit one and I will see it on my screen, and I will bring you on the air to speak. Say whatever you want. It'd be nice if anything you had as a question or a comment could be in the context of what we're studying biblically, which is the cross of Christ, and we're going to be on this for quite a while, because that's where I'm going to do what I can to give you the verses, many verses that show the extreme importance of this event. I'm going to start today in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And we're going to eventually get through the end of Romans chapter 8. And then I've got a long way to go after that. So just hold on. Yes, ma'am. Are you there?
Hello there. I'm here, Carl.
How you doing? Okay. You want to say anything? All right. You want to say something and then a prayer, or do you want to go right to prayer, or however you want to do it?
Go right to prayer today. Father, we're in spite of the crazy weather this year and everything that's happening, we're just thankful for you. No matter what goes on around us, we still know that you protect us, that you're in charge of everything. You're still on the throne. And there are so many things going on that as Christians, we look around and we think, how can this be happening? There are even people who, Christians, that are looking around and saying, what is going on? But as Christians, we know that you are in charge. You know exactly what the outcome is. And we have to rest in that. Father, help us to rest in that, because it's not always easy. We want to, instead of picking up our cross, we want to pick up our own selves and take things in hand and try to do them on our own, and that never works out. So each day, Lord, remind us to walk in the Spirit, to allow you to keep us in your will, and just let you guide our paths. Because when we try to do it the other way, we fail miserably. And so to start that right now, Lord, as we go through this program, give us every single word, every verse of Scripture that you want for this program for the next hour and a half. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
All right. Those in the listening audience who I hate to start a program out with a compliment, but I wish you could have read that off a script, because so many of the words that you used in that prayer were so applicable, and applicable to the point that they get beyond the religious prayers that we hear so often in the church. Perfect examples: pray before we eat, and it almost gets embarrassing how people just keep, you know, they say a run-on sentence of how people just
right.
go on and on and on and on, and it means nothing. But everything you said there is so key to my mindset, just to keep check on myself, so when I do this program or any other study, that I am giving what you want, not what I think or any of my opinions. I've got to refrain from that totally. But it was a well-worded prayer.
Thank you, Carl. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say it's not just in Bible study. People don't realize it's in everything in our lives. And I'm not talking about what socks you wear today, but, you know, I mean, it's in how we respond to each other, how we, you know, I was reading, in fact, let's refer back to something I put on Facebook the other day that you commented on, in fact, and there are.
I've been commenting a lot of what you write lately. It's
you have.
But it's very good stuff, and I'm not commenting on it to comment because you wrote it. This is stuff that we don't hear in church. We don't hear these things in church. And as my wife said one night, she says, what you're going over here is not rocket science. She said, this is fundamental, and people don't know it because we're not on it in general.
Yes. I sometimes will share things from, like, another page or group or whatever. And, you know, I'm very careful about what I share, because I will not share anything except for truth. If I think it's been twisted, if I think that it's just outright wrong, whatever. And so there's
this is something you emphasized recently. It's not your opinion of truth. It's what the Bible says is truth. That's the key. And that's one of the many different things you put out this week that I positively, you know, commented on.
Yep.
Truth means nothing
exactly.
As far as you and I think. Hey, I was raised in a very religious family, and none of them, to my knowledge, were ever born again. To my knowledge, but they could tell you truth from different church leaders, and so again, your truth is where you getting it from, and that's an excellent point. I mean, we could just take this whole prayer today and dissect it, but go ahead.
Well, you know, and that's what you just said there, people will talk about, well, this is my truth, and that's my truth, and this is, you know what? There's one truth. There's one truth.
That's right.
And that's God's truth. That's right.
Yep.
That's right. If you're not following Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, he is the truth. He is the truth. And if you're not following him, then it doesn't matter about your truth. Right. It's not truth. He is the truth. And so all that other malarkey it just doesn't matter. But anyway, so this, because he's the way, the truth, and the life. So there was, as I said, there was a page that put out something today, you know, you'll see, people call them memes or whatever, but this was a thing that talked about something about how, it was how Christ had Judas had followed, you know, had been taught by Christ, okay, and how, you know, he didn't end up saved, you know, I mean, and I'm paraphrasing this here, you know, I don't have it in front of me, but he didn't end up saved, and so don't blame the church if you go astray. Well, you know, so they say, don't blame the church leaders, just stay in church and listen. Now, that's an untruth. Yes, and I called them out on it, and I can't tell you how many people.
I wondered where you came up with this topic, because it was a good one.
Yeah, well, so many people that were following this just were like, nope, you need to stay with your denomination, your church, your pastor, and we've seen this in about the last 15 to 20 years at a particular church, although most people believe this way, but a particular church in our city that is, I'm just going to say, because you probably don't know where I'm at, but, and you won't know exactly who I'm talking about, but I'm just going to be very general here and say, a particular church with a particular pastor has been called out doing some illegal things, but the church stuck with him through thick and thick. I'm not going to say thick and thin because there was no thin, just thick and thick. No matter what he did, they stuck with him, or most of them did. So having said that, the problem here that we have is that this is their attitude. No matter what the pastor says, they're going to stick with him because they're not following God. They're following religion. They're following a pastor. They're following a denomination. They're following a church. And that is the problem. And so I finally, you know, said both on that page, and then I shared their post and said, if this is your attitude, you're wrong, and here's why you're wrong. Because Paul in Galatians 1 said, I can't believe, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. If anyone is preaching, yes, right, you're going to hell. You're not saved. And Paul includes himself in this. He says, if we or even an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, he says, than what we've already preached, than what I preached to you before. If I change and start preaching the wrong thing, if your denomination, if your church, if your pastor either was preaching the gospel or you thought they were before, you thought they were preaching the truth, and now they aren't, they've turned away, let that person, let that church, let that pastor, let that denomination be accursed. Let them be sent to hell. They're done. And then he repeats it in the next verse, as we've said before. So now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Listen, folks. If you are, now, that person is going to be accursed. That denomination is accursed. That church is accursed. Now, if you want to be, and this is what I said, if you want to be led down a path to damnation by a church, a pastor, a denomination that you are idolizing, because that's what you're doing, you're idolizing them. If you're putting them before God, because that's what you're doing, you're putting them before God. You're idolizing them because they're not preaching the truth. They're preaching Antichrist. They're preaching the opposite of the truth. And you're going to sit there and listen to it and let your spirit be lied to by the devil. That's right, by the devil, because remember, they're accursed. They're going to hell. They have Satan leading them now. So if that's what you want to do, you go ahead. But I'm telling you, you're being preached into damnation. And I, for one, will not sit under any sort of false preaching. If they're preaching anything that is contrary to the gospel, you better get out of there. Because they are preaching you into damnation. And not only that, but eventually all that false gospel that they're preaching you is going to get into your mind and into your spirit. And as it preaches you into damnation, you are going to start preaching someone else into damnation eventually. So we have not just the right, not just the need, but we are to be watchmen, according to Ezekiel. We're to be watchmen, which means we are supposed to be telling everyone else the truth. In Acts, we're to be ministers also. And it's just as much your fault if you preach the false gospel that is being preached to you as it is that pastor's, that church's, that denomination.
Okay. You need to, and I make this recommendation to you rather frequently, you need to listen, if you could, to the last maybe 15 minutes of the sermon we heard today from Rands. Either you are plagiarizing him or he's plagiarizing you. It was the same. No, it was the same appeal.
Wow.
It was the same appeal, but you could actually hear almost him not crying, but you could hear him, his voice rise in the way yours does, showing the pain in his heart for the people who are under this demonic control. And it is demonic.
Yeah.
When Jesus Christ said, "I hate the Nicolaitans," Jesus said, "I hate the Nicolaitans." Nicolaitans is control of a group by one or more others. And Christ made a statement, "I hate the Nicolaitans." He was citing the control of the church of the people in church by the leadership, or the control of the leadership by the folks rather than the pastor.
Yeah.
Now, when I say the pastor has spiritual authority, but he has not to control it to the point, like Pastor Rands told me, when he gets calls for volunteers, because since COVID, far between, that are willing to go preach or do a Bible study as a fill-in at other churches, he says they actually give you what you must say, and he refuses to send people. But Christ hates this control. He hates this demonic control. You know, I know who you're referring to, and I know the things he's done, and it's very common knowledge he's done. It is public knowledge, and yet the one you're referring to, and yet it is a demonic control that these people are under where they're staying with them, because they have gotten hostile with me when I said I don't approve of going there.
Right.
So it is demonic.
Right.
That's
right.
Why Paul is saying, may you be accursed. Or not Paul. The Holy Spirit inspired every word.
Yes. And I would go so far, Carl, as to say, and I have said it, that person needs to repent, needs to ask forgiveness, and needs to step down. That's
absolutely
my belief.
But this guy is gaining momentum.
Yeah,
and this guy is gaining momentum, and I don't know, it may have been Jim that told me that he's much bigger than just one church. I didn't know that.
No, I told you that. His church is international.
Okay.
I didn't know that until about a year ago.
That is unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I just happened I don't even remember how I happened across the information, but I did. And his churches are now international. I was just blown away. But this just shows you, Carl, this just shows you how following and putting money into a church of that sort will make it grow. Satan loves to grow his churches. Let me say that again. Satan loves to grow his churches. I'm not talking about satanic churches in the way that we think of them. You know, I'm not talking about I'm not talking about the big satanic churches with whatever they are out there, the Beelzebub things, you know, horns and the... I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the satanic churches that have the cross outside and the pastor up there holding the Bible in his hand but isn't really preaching the Word of God. He's preaching the twisted Word of God. Not every satanic church, in fact, most satanic churches tell you they're satanic churches. I can't tell you the name of it because I just don't think it's, I'm not getting an okay to do so.
I'd rather not.
Yep. I'm just not getting an okay to do so. God is telling me that people are supposed to find this for themselves. So, but let me tell you something. I can say this though. If you're going into a building that calls itself a church of God or a church of Christ or a Christian church or anything like that, and it is preaching, I'm going to make this very clear, if it is preaching anything antithetical to anything in the Word of God. Now, let's be clear, I'm not saying if it's anti-law. In other words, I'm not saying if it is talking about the Holy Spirit leading you rather than following the law, all right? I'm talking about a church that is anti-Holy Spirit. I'm talking about a church that is saying it's okay for you to go out and do anything you want. Because there are also churches that say, well, we don't have to, we just have to love. We don't have to actually be obedient to God. And there's a difference between following the law and being obedient to God. We're supposed to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into obedience, to lead us into righteousness. As you often hear Carl say, As Carl will say, repent of your own good works. I love how you put that. That's so perfect. It's not our good works. It's God's works through us. So if you're in a church that is trying to tell you, you need to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You need to do the work. You need to this, this, this. It's not about you. It's about God. But if you also are in a church telling you, it's okay to be homosexual or anything else. It's okay to be a drunkard. It's okay to go out and use all, and I'm going to put the word your money because it's really God's, right? Everything we have belongs to God. But it's okay to go out and use all your money to gamble every weekend and just go out and party because God is a loving God, and he will... He'll just forgive everything you do. You better watch what you're doing. It's okay to go listen to certain pastors who are going to tell you, you know, just feel good about yourself. And there's more than one or two. Just go out and feel good about yourself, because there's more than one pathway to God. There's one pathway to God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop listening to false preachers. Walk away from those who are accursed, so that you don't become accursed as well.
All right, now the second point. The second half of Pastor Rand's sermon today, or the last maybe 15, 20 minutes, you could hear in his voice, it was almost passion he had, as I could tell you weren't speaking in your normal tone of voice when you were talking about the very things he was saying, which was, it's not baptism, it's not your church, it's not religion.
Right.
And he was telling people, get right with God, and he was crying almost. I'd not seen him cry, but you could just tell in his voice he was just overcome by what he was saying. But he made another statement that you got into in the beginning about how crazy things are. He got into Revelation today, and he said, folks, if you do not understand and you're not born again, and you have not studied and read Revelation, and all this stuff just doesn't make sense. He said, if you're not a believer, this stuff is going to drive people to drink or commit suicide, because we're getting worse every day.
Yeah.
It will.
Mm-hmm.
It's hopeless.
Yeah.
And he says it doesn't make sense to you. And he says if it did make sense to you, you got a bigger problem. So then you're part of it.
Yeah. Yes.
But so much of what you're saying, but you see where I've got to be very careful on the, I'm doing right now with one other edition, 18 Bible studies a week. Not that that is a flag-raising event, but I've got to be careful that I don't go off the deep end and start giving my opinions. That's why your prayer, the second half of it, was very applicable to me, because I've got to keep this stuff in mind that I don't get following something that is not Jesus Christ, period.
Yeah.
I've got to. Because the enemy's going to be after me. I remember David Wilkerson, and I say this all the time, he said, if you don't think this is something the enemy's not trying to do to me in this church, he says, you're telling me I'm not doing my job, because I'm no threat to the kingdom of Satan. And and if David Wilkerson could say that, I better not take these warnings too lightly. And your prayer had a lot of good points in it for someone like us who does want to share God's word, because the enemy is going to use, he's going to use our good works that we're doing to twist them in our minds so that we injure people. He's going to do it.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And I'll tell you, one that I've got to be very careful of, and I really do, is when a person attacks me for what I've said. I just had this happen to me this weekend. I used a statement, and this person came back, there are no blank, blank. So I said to him, okay. I said, I used the wrong choice of words. And I'm taking sort of listening to the way you handle some of your personal issues with people who attack you. And you know what? I got to say, when you do that, and when you just say, okay, and don't fight this carnal battle with carnal weapons, that means to prove you're right, to yell back. I'm telling you, it didn't bother me at all what he said. Not a bit. But that's why I got to be careful. When someone takes a shot at you because of semantics, and ignores what the Bible is saying. In fact, it was talking
right.
about Romans chapter 8. We didn't specifically mention it, but we're talking about a born-again Christian that Romans 8 says you can fall into carnality. And this
yes.
man basically said, there are no carnal Christians. Well, then you got to talk to Romans chapter 8, the author, who is the Holy Spirit. But I didn't get into that battle. And you know what? When you
right.
get into those battles with people, you just get all twisted up. You get a headache and you feel you're not in the mood to really give people the truth of the Holy Spirit. You're more concentrating on how you can justify yourself, et cetera. And that what you've
yeah.
done with those people that oppose you, it isn't easy. I'm going to rephrase that. It may not be easy to do it, but it's sure in heck you can pull it off without that acid in your throat because you're trying to fight a battle of carnality with carnal weapons. And I'm telling you, I've learned from your statement about that, even though the real me doesn't want to, that's the last thing I want to do is answer, I don't know, just, okay, you think that? Whatever.
Right.
You
know why, Carl?
Yeah, because
you know
it's the pride
because,
in me. The pride in me.
Well,
you can't say
because
that
think
to
of it
me.
This way. Think of it this way. They're not opposing
yeah.
you. They're not fighting you. They're fighting
oh,
God.
Oh, no. Absolutely.
They're
That's
fighting
a good
God.
Point. That's a good
yep.
point.
They're not fighting me. They're fighting God. You know, you want to fight God. Well, good luck with that. You know? I mean,
the
really.
The problem is it can lead, and you alluded to this in your prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't going to bring this up, really, but you alluded to it. If you...
Mm-hmm.
If you do fight God over what Scripture means, when he clearly
yeah.
explains it, like he does in Romans 8, you can
yeah.
be a Christian and still give in to the carnal / sin nature. Person
yeah.
ignores it. You know the mentality. Once I've joined the Harper Valley PTA, nothing can happen. That, folks, is not biblically accurate. What the Bible says is once you are truly born again, nothing can separate you. It does not say that you can't, through unbelief, walk away. And Hebrews 3:12 states that. But I want to highlight why I said I need to apply what you said to myself. It's not to make you sound good over the radio. It is that I can see these little pitfalls where the enemy will get into my pride and say, well, that person, you got to tell him off. He has no right to speak to you. No, no. Why get into that battle? For people who are doing what we do, Raven, and that is the desire to share the word with others, your prayer today was excellent. Because this pitfall is going to, here, as Wilkerson said, if it's not there, you're doing a lousy job. He didn't use the word lousy. He used some other adjective, which I don't remember.
Right.
Let's go ahead and continue Romans 8. And we're bouncing up to a new topic. We read through 25. And 25 was... if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? And that goes back to the definition of faith, which is in Hebrews 11:1. And that
mm-hmm.
is faith is the assurance of, well, let me get to it. Hebrews 11:1. Let me not
right.
take something that's important and give you what I remember. What I remember is not worth remembering.
You know, Carl, there's,
yeah.
I was just going to say, there's one other verse. Well, it's a short little group of verses, but there's one other, something else that goes with not staying in a church or under teaching that is contrary to God. It's twisting scripture, and I've been, God's been telling me to use this this last week, and that is 2 John verses 9 through 11. If anyone comes to you and does not bring the doctrine of Christ, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. So, and that receiving him into your house, that's where they prayed. That's where they, this is where church took place. You know, back then they didn't have the churches because the Jewish temples were pretty much saying, yep, we're, you know, at this point here, a lot of the Christians were not even meeting there. So he's talking about, no, you're not supposed to be having Christian contact with them. He says, don't even greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. This is exactly what I was saying before.
I'm going to ask you to read that verse, yep.
Yep, you are sharing in their evil deeds. Exactly what I was saying before, or that Paul, when I brought up what Paul was saying before about when in Galatians 1, you're going to go right, they're going to lead you right down that road. They're going to lead you right down that road into damnation. You are doing the same thing they're doing.
Absolutely.
Yep. Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
No, Raven, I don't mind. What I want to do is keep this up where, and I'll try to follow my own advice, where I'll read something or say something, then I'll stop and you go ahead, just so we don't confuse the people by us talking at the same time.
Right, yeah. Okay, so we're in Hebrews,
what
again?
Then, and I want you to read a little bit of a different topic here.
Yep.
But it is very, very applicable because often people tell me, I'm afraid I didn't say the right words. Or how do I, what words do I use when I pray? Statements. I want you to read Romans 8:26 because, again, God is only looking for one thing in prayer. Do you trust him? And when you're going to prayer, and I'm not talking about prayer you memorized like I did as a kid that I can still repeat, and I don't even know what it says. I'm talking about when you go with prayer, what's really on your mind, what you're telling God is, I trust you. I need your help.
Yeah.
So go ahead and read 26 and 27 because people are all hung up. And you know what I really notice it, Raven? When we go out with someone to get a cheap bowl of soup after church on Sunday, and I'm not talking about anyone in particular, or when we eat something in a church building and people get into giving thanks and they take 10 minutes to give thanks when, you know, they want to make sure they don't say the wrong thing. This is not a responsibility. So go ahead and read this in Romans 8:26 and 27, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself. Yes.
We don't know.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I'm breaking my own idea here. You keep going.
Yeah. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Groanings which cannot be uttered. So we don't don't even understand what he's saying.
Go to the next verse.
Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There's three he's in that. In those two verses there.
There's what?
Three he's. I said there's three he's, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in those two verses.
Right. Right. Nope, you're right. But do you see this? Now, you've elaborated on this before, Romans 8:27, when you said that you've come home, you've collapsed literally, got in the house and didn't even know what you were so perplexed you couldn't even pray. But you were praying. Yes. The Holy Spirit was praying for you.
Yes.
So don't struggle, people, over wording. You want to go over what you're praying for, and I do that every morning. Probably 15, 20 people. Oh, it's got to be more than that I'm praying for salvation. That's not what we're saying. Don't think that your wording is going to twist God's arm, because when he sees you not knowing what to pray for, how to pray as we ought, in Romans 8:26, the Holy Spirit takes your motives, your desire, your need, prays to the Father with words that we couldn't even understand if we heard them.
Yeah.
And he intercedes for us with the Father according to the Father's will for us.
Yeah.
That's an amazing thing when you think of it.
Yeah.
I want the Father to help me, but my way. And the Holy Spirit says, Carl, maybe your way is not the right way. It's not going to lead to victory. Just look at these two verses. They're amazing.
Yeah, they are. The most powerful prayer I've ever prayed, 5 little words. Lord, I'm sorry. Help me.
Hey, remember Eric Whitmore? You may not. A very fantastic, convicting preacher we used to have at a church. His church is no longer there. He used to say the greatest prayer in the world is help.
Yeah, right. One word, just help. Yeah. As long as your head knows who you're talking to, that's all you need to say. Yes.
Now, read
those
Romans
5 words are all in that.
People
Romans
like 8, to isolate. Read Romans 8:28. People like to isolate this verse, and they like to say, well, all things are going to work together for my good. That's not what it's saying.
Right.
Hey, hold on a minute. Saying, if you understand 8:26,
mm-hmm.
and you are trusting in the Holy Spirit to intercede to the Father according to the Father's will for you, not your twisting God's arm, then verse 28 is applicable. But if you're not willing to condescend to at least believing 26 and 7, don't believe everything's going to work out for your good. It may not. I don't know.
Right.
Look at 28.
And we know that all things work together for good for those for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose.
Now,
what
do you think those who love God defines?
It's those of us who are saved, those who have accepted.
Amen. Now, the fact you're saved, Romans 6 and Romans 7 and Romans 8 show you that you can still be living according to the carnal nature, the sin nature, or the flesh nature, even though you're born again. That's why when this person attacked me for that statement, I didn't get I used self-control here. And I didn't come up with it with a negative, because this is clearly stating he wouldn't write this to a believer. Romans 6, 7, and 8 is, once you're born again, folks, you now have two choices. Galatians 5:17 says it. Galatians 5:17 says the flesh lusts against the spirit. The spirit lusts against the flesh, so that we don't do what we ought to do. Now, why this cannot apply to an unbeliever is an unbeliever doesn't have the spirit nature.
They don't have that other choice.
Read Romans 6, 7, and 8. You can only serve one master. Why would you say that if you have no choice? You're a slot car. You know these little racing, they put them on little race cars on racetracks, and you can go into a turn with the power cranked to the maximum, and nothing will happen because your car is on a slot track. It's locked into it. No.
Right.
This is not the way we're to live.
Right.
Romans chapter 6 and 8 are constantly telling us, be careful. You now have the Holy Spirit. There's a war going on in you. It's something else people don't want to hear. We are at war. I don't care what anyone thinks.
Right.
We are at war, and it's a spiritual war. But you, as a Christian, can get locked into carnality. The Holy Spirit will continue to convict you.
Yeah.
But I love this, Romans 8, 28. All things. Now, unfortunately, all things on earth may never come to fruition. When he says all things work to the good, it means eternal good. Eternal good.
Yeah.
Now, let's prove that. Raven, read Hebrews 11, 13.
All right.
You know what? Read one. I didn't read one. The definition of faith.
Now, faith is the substance hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Now, do you see? Does it make sense to you from that? Why I said Romans 8, 28, all things work together for the good of those that love God. That does not mean that you're going to see it on earth, that everything works for good. It may. But it may not.
Yeah. You know, Carl, that verse goes with Romans 8:24. It's funny.
That's
looking at that verse. Yeah, I was just looking at that verse right before we turned.
Hold on. Romans 8:24, I'm going to put with Hebrews 11:1.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yes, go ahead and read that.
Yeah, I was just looking at that before, and I have Hebrews 11:1 written right next to 8:24. For we were saved in this hope. We were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees?
Amen.
Yeah.
But do you see? Yeah. And let me bring up, it's not just you. It's myself. We're praying continuously. Continuously, those who are believers are praying for their lost family for salvation. Folks, I'm closer to 81 than I am 80. The chances are that I may not be around when my lost family, the members of it, ever so. Not everything on earth is going to work out, but God is using Romans 8:28 as a eternal. Now, having just believe on faith that what I'm saying is correct. Now, read Hebrews 11:13 and 39. This will show you that the validity is don't expect Romans 8:28 to always be manifested on this earth.
Right. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. We're assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And then 11:39. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise.
The best thing I can think of, Raven, is praying for your children or grandchildren's salvation. I've got grandchildren that range from 23 to 9. The 9-year-old, it's likely that when she is saved, that I will never see evidence of it. But you know what? That is not praying in faith.
Right.
But God will show us. Just think of what we're going to know. Just think of the meeting in heaven when you, many of your children, that you, when you passed away, they hated God, relatives, children, parents, whatever. And just think, when you get there and you see them, it's going to be beyond all things work for the good.
Yes. Yes. Definitely. And there
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say there will be some people who maybe we witnessed to and had really hoped would come to the Lord. But unfortunately, on Judgment Day, we're going to see the opposite. Because it is up to their, even though God may do, you know, the Holy Spirit may convict them of their need for God and may, you know, so many things to pull them in that direction, it still comes down to their free will. They have the ability to say no. So God is going to do his part, but we have free will. So on Judgment Day, there are going to be some people that we're going to cry about. It's going to hurt, which is why God has to wipe our tears from our eyes. You and I have talked about this, Carl, how, you know, we were told there will be no crying in heaven. There will be tears on Judgment Day. That's why he has to wipe the tears from our eyes. That's why he has to wipe those tears from our eyes. We're most likely going to cry terribly on Judgment Day. But then,
you know what?
Then it'll all be gone. Then it'll be gone.
Let me give you some verses. Let me give you verses to verify what you're saying, because some of this goes against much of the modern seeker-sensitive teaching. I'd like you to go to Revelation 20.
Yes.
And I want you to read in 20. Just bear with me here, 11 through 15.
Right.
And even if you're an atheist, you can see that this is final judgment. Final judgment.
Yeah. Right.
Go ahead. And
yeah. And you know, I tell you, Carl, unless you have zero thought for anyone else, boy, you better be crying on this when this happens. Then I saw a great white throne.
Well, hold on,
Hold
on. You brought up a point that Pastor talked about a little bit today. Not what you said, but the point. If you don't have this crying, if this does not affect you when you see Revelation 20, 11 through 15, then you don't have the love of God in you, which means you're going to be next to go into the lake of fire.
That's right. That's right. And that love of God should be the impetus for us to go out and share the gospel in some manner. Maybe you're not a preacher. Maybe.
There again, either you or Rands could be wealthy, because either you're stealing his information or he's stealing yours, but you're right in the same. He said that this week, too.
You may not be a radio preacher.
No, you've got one spiritual gift at least, and that's being done to lead people to Christ. And that's just what he said, what you just said last week, is this stuff should not make us harp about the condition of anything today. It should motivate us to get out and give the truth to people.
Right. Right.
Either you or he are cheating on each other as far as stealing material, and I believe that is against the law. So one of you I'll be a lawyer and sue the other one, whoever, but you're on the same wavelength.
You know what? You know what, Carl? You know what God just said to me? He said there's one spirit. He said there's one spirit, and we all have the Holy Spirit in us, speaking to us. That's why he and I are on the same wavelength. That's why you and somebody else is talking the same thing this week. That's why, you understand what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit is putting the same message in so many people. The same message is going out all over the place. The Holy Spirit is saying, listen, help people.
Raven, I'm not up to speed with this because I don't watch news, listen to it, read it. But I have heard from several sources in the last probably 10 days that Muslim conversion to Christianity is just exploding.
I have heard that too, Carl. I've heard the same
exploding.
Thing. I heard that there was, and I saw an article on it, and I can't tell you where it was. I happened across it, and I was kind of in a hurry, but I saw it. And that was, and there was a video of it that over in, I can't even remember exactly where it happened. I think it was in Gaza, over in, Palestine. There was
that
some Christian preacher had gone over there and had led, and had preached the gospel, and they showed like 100 Muslims all getting saved right then and there. 100. I mean, now, that may not sound like a lot, but let's think about that a minute. We're talking real conversion here. Real conversion
because Muslims to get saved. It will cost their life.
That's right. So no Muslim is just going to go, oh, yeah, I accept Christ. No, that's not going to happen. You're going to get a lot of – you're going to see more false conversion over here because, people are going to, oh, yeah, I'm going to go along with my buddy here in the church. That's not going to happen over there. Nobody's going to go, oh, yeah, I'm going to go along with my Palestinian buddies who might get shot for saying, yes, I believe in Christ. People aren't doing that over there. That's not happening. Even the Jewish people over there aren't going to go, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. That's not happening. These people are truly being converted, and 100 of them? Let me tell you, one or two over in a corner somewhere? Even that is a big deal. But 100 out in public, this was like a big area. You could see all these people. I mean, it wasn't in the middle of the town square, but there were a lot of people. 100 is a lot. 100 is a lot of true conversions here in the United States. I don't care how many you saw in your seeker-friendly church. Oh, yeah, 100 came forward and 100 were baptized. I don't mean to sound cruel or crass, but that's sort of meaningless.
You can't help but sound the way you don't mean to sound because it's the Holy Spirit who is fed up with religion. Well, who Dean and Carmen are. Dean and Carmen.
Yeah, I do. Oh, yeah, sweet couple.
Okay. 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, November 11th, almost three weeks ago, on a Saturday, we went to their daughter's wedding, and it was at a very large Roman Catholic church. And folks, up until I was 43 years old, I was attending a Roman Catholic church. In 1965, I was accepted into the Roman Catholic Priesthood Seminary in Dunwoody, New York, to study to be a Catholic priest. And I heard the Catholic priest say something, just a passing comment before he started to read the vows. He said, and I'll just give you the punchline. He said, the only thing, folks, that's going to count is a relationship with Jesus Christ. I have never heard a Roman Catholic priest. I'm not saying they haven't ever.
Right.
Wrote
wow.
Things. I've never. I mean, this is happening everywhere, which again is another sign that we are getting so close to the end that you can feel the heat.
Yeah. Yeah. There's going to be a huge. Well, we're in Matthew 24, you know, early Matthew 24.
Yep. Yep. Would you say, and I'm not reaching here, that we're getting very close to the scriptural rapture because he is now bringing the remnant from all over the world, all religions?
I believe he is separating the wheat from the tares. Is that what, what you're asking me?
But they're,
yes.
But they're coming from all different denominations, even the ones
yes.
that we call heathen.
Yes.
Oscar, when
yes.
that Catholic priest said that, that got my attention for the rest of the day. That is
yes.
something that
I think that's true.
Even my pre-seminary training, I never heard anybody even broach. He said, it's
yes.
not your religion. It is not what you do. You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I someday ought to go down and get to talk to that guy because it's a church. I'm sure you know where it is. It's a humongous church. It's on Avondale. St.
Yeah.
Patrick's. But okay, beautiful building. And I'm telling
yeah,
you, I've been
yeah.
to cathedrals in New York City where I was raised, and they have nothing on this. I'm not saying St. Patrick's Cathedral. This place is unbelievable, the architecture, the work that was done. It's just unbelievable. But I ought to go down and talk to that man. I never thought of that. I think I might. And just say, I want to talk to you for a while. And because
yeah.
I'm telling when he said that, it just, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Not religion.
Yeah.
It's a relationship with Christ. Okay. I'm getting us off, as Jim Myers says. What does Jim say? That I'm shipwrecking the Bible study. Okay.
Okay. So let's see. Where
now,
was I?
I want you to read... I want you to read verse 29 because we're going to talk about a horrible heresy that comes out of this mentality that Paul is trying to eradicate.
I hadn't even read 11 through 15 yet.
Wait, you
in,
haven't
in,
read 11
in Revelation.
30, yeah, you haven't read 39. I'm sorry.
No, I mean in Revelation 20. Revelation 20.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, see what Jim says? I hijack it. Okay, go ahead.
Right.
Revelation 20. Now, this is going to dispel the heresy that, or not dispel the heresy. You made a comment, we're not going to have tears in heaven. No, we're not. But we're going to see, we're right before we enter the new heaven and new earth. There will be tears
right.
because we're watching 11, we're watching Revelation 20, 11 through 15 occur, which is worth seeing relatives and friends being cast into the lake of fire. If this doesn't bother you, folks, you got a big problem.
And it's not till chapter 21 that he wipes away our tears. All
right.
So
right, that's what I want to know, but that follows.
Yep.
Right after this, where we have tears, he says he wipes it away. So that's proving what you said. We will have tears, not in the new heaven and new earth. But when we
yes.
see Romans or Revelation 20, 11 through 15, if you don't have tears, then you're going to go into the lake of fire with them because you're not saved. You can't be.
Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Now let's give credibility to what you said. There will be tears. Read verse 4 of 21, which is after 20, logically.
Yep, yep. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.
Now, what's going to happen, folks, is in the new heaven and new earth, we're not even going to remember we had relatives who lost their soul.
Right. Yeah.
But you're going to see it.
Yeah.
Or there would be no reason for verse 4 to be written.
Well, we know that's right, Carl, that we're not going to remember that because the end there, it says, the former things have passed away. They're gone. We're not there. God's not going to allow us to think on that anymore.
In verse 5,
he says, Behold, I make all things new.
Read verse 5. It goes right along with it.
Yes. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things
new. That's it. Boy, that was good. I wanted you to emphasize that word, all things.
Yes.
Write these words, for they are faithful and true.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not going to go into, okay. Again, argue with the word of God, not us. Ravens didn't write it. We're reading it.
Yep.
And I don't care how much you got in hermeneutics or any other thing in the scripture of education. I'm not criticizing education. You can't argue that 21 comes after 20. So chronologically, it's the new heaven and new earth, the new Jerusalem. That's the finality of everything. After chapter 21, that's the last event that will ever happen on this earth. It will be, chapter 21 will be in place for the rest of eternity. All right, now let's go back to that Romans 8:28 again and read Hebrews 11:39, which shows us that not all things are going to work out to our satisfaction on earth, but eternally they will be worked out for the good.
Okay. Where did you want me to start? Romans 8?
Well, Hebrews 11, you read 13. Read 13 and 39 both. Read them both.
Okay. Hebrews 11.
13, and they say the same thing.
13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And then 39, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Yes.
That means.
Not on earth.
Romans 8:28 has to come to fulfillment in everything you've ever prayed for or asked for to show that it worked for your good. But don't expect to see it all on this earth or you're being misled.
Right.
It may happen. An auto accident I was in 1983, where I got hit head-on a four-lane highway. Someone came across the center line. Back, we didn't have any dividers, no guardrail or anything. It was just a double yellow line. That was the best thing that ever happened. It changed my whole life. But not everything on this earth, folks, is going to work for your good. Some of the worst things that are going to happen to you on earth, you're going to see God allowed them for your good, but it doesn't make sense on this end.
Right, Boy, that's exactly. So. We may not see it. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You may not.
Right. Carl, let me give an example, can I?
Sure.
I have, if I sat here and individually, every single person that ever listens to this program, and just sat with each one of you individually, and without talking about Christ, without talking about God, just talking in the flesh, told you what my life has been like, you'd all go, wow, that's just a, I can't believe what you went through. How could, if you were an atheist and then we brought up God, you'd be like, well, how could a God allow you to go through that? And boy, and what man.
If that's a God you serve, I don't want any part of him. Okay, keep that statement, folks. You're going to be in Revelation 20, 11 through 15.
Right. That's right. But now here's the thing. Now that I'm saved, now that I know God, and interestingly, now that he's brought me through even, or allowed me to come through even more stuff, now that he's hit me with some Hebrews 12, now that he's brought me through some Job moments, now that he has allowed the boils to allow Satan to hit me with boils and taking away family, just all kinds of crazy stuff, okay? More than that, like, I could sit here and talk to you and give details for 6 months, but I won't. I'm just saying.
I want to interrupt you a minute. You brought up something I'm not sure I've consciously thought of. Hebrews 11 is about faith.
Yeah.
What is Hebrews 12 about? You brought
discipline.
This up, and I never which is unwanted, unpleasant things he allows to happen to us.
Right.
I never really consciously thought of it, that Hebrews 12, you've got to believe Hebrews 11 before you accept the value of Hebrews 12.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So if I'm talking to an unbeliever, he doesn't get it because he doesn't have Hebrews 11. He doesn't have faith. So they have to have this faith first. I have family members.
Hold on, that is key.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you can't just go and talk to people. Yeah. You can't just tell people, oh, well, God did this and this and this, and have them believe you and understand you because they can't understand why did God allow you to, and I've spoke about this before on here, Carl, so I'm just going to say this, to go through abuse. Right.
Right.
How did God let you be abused by your family, let you be sexually abused, let you be like this, 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 and this. You must hate God by now. You know what? There was a time that I did. I've got to admit that. There was a time when maybe hate is too strong. Maybe hate is too strong a word. I don't know. But I was angry. Let me put it that way. I never hated him. But I was angry with him. I was mad at him. How dare you do this to me? How could you let this happen? And then
I have been
and then God shook me up a little more. Yeah.
I've been in the same place, Raven, but not over sexual molestation. But we're up until maybe 5 years ago, I resented God for not answering a prayer that I prayed from maybe 11 years old, and he never answered.
Or you thought he hadn't answered it, right?
Well,
you thought
he
hadn't answered it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's why Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12, even though they're so contradictory according to our will, they go together perfectly.
Right, exactly. Because while you're sitting there shaking your fist, guess what he's going to do? He's going to keep shaking you up. That's what happened in Job.
Amen.
Every time Job shook his fist at God, God shook him up some more and said, knock it off. Quit yelling at me. Who do you think you are? Did you create the world? Where were you when I hung the planets in the sky? You are nobody. And that is what God is going to do to you. When you keep getting angry with God for all the things that are happening to you, he's going to keep saying to you, who do you think you are?
Good analogy.
You did.
You know what? Job fits right in between 11 and 12 of Hebrews.
That's right. Yep. Or sometimes a little bit before 11, before you come to faith. You know, you may have to go through a whole lot of shaking going on, you know. What's that song? Before you come to faith.
Hold on.
Because God's saying.
Hold on.
Yeah.
You're talking about my all-time favorite singer. In 1956, 15 years old, I was raised in a housing project in New York City. The only thing that I looked forward to was going to see dirt track auto racing, and the big racing was in Eastern Pennsylvania, and this is a long story a little bit, and I just watching all the old time drivers. If anybody's a racing fan, Jimmy Bryan and Johnny Parsons, but anyhow, we're going to outside of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, to a place called Williams Grove. And the day before we went to that, I had literally came down with the real flu, not the flu that I had my wife employer because I want to go fishing today, the real flu. And the real flu and COVID hit me this way. I just was so drained and so much hurt in my joints that I couldn't move. And I'm 13 years old. And I had no interest in music, none. Mm-hmm. And I was in bed all day. My parents went somewhere. I have no idea where. And I'm in bed. I can't even sit up to change the radio station. And it was playing the newly fangled thing, music, rock and roll. And
gotcha.
I'm telling you, Raven, 1956, I heard this song, Whole Lot of Shaking Going On, by a guy named Jerry Lee Lewis, who just died.
Oh, that's who it was. Yeah.
Just died at 87 years old. But, you know, I listened to a later in life interview with him, and he was a preacher for 3 years. He went to Bible college.
Is that right?
And he did. And then he said that unfortunately he went into the world. But he, for those who don't know, Jerry Lee Lewis is a first cousin of Jimmy Swaggart, who is a very well-known TV evangelist. And he's a second cousin of Mickey Gilley, who was a tremendous musical performer also in country western. But you brought that song up. I'm amazed you remember that. That goes back to 1956.
Well, my
because
mother
his next
loved.
Song, his next song was Great Balls of Fire, which was in 57.
Oh, yeah.
So that 56, that's what? Hold on a minute. Let me do arithmetic. 44 years and 23. That's 67 years ago, that song. But you're right. Whole lot of shaking going on.
My mom used to listen to that sort of music when I was a kid. But, yeah.
I
that's
until,
what's going to – did you?
Until I heard this song.
Oh, okay.
You remember,
you remember
a concert pianist named a Russian? Can't think of his name. Concert pianist. I wish I could think of his name. Very famous. He made a comment. He said that he's never seen fingers on a piano than Jerry Lee Lewis.
is.
I believe that.
You know what? Someday, just people, just put Jerry Lee Lewis into your YouTube, and this is not what I should be talking about, but just to see the musical talent that God has given this man, had given. He never took lessons, couldn't read music, and just watch his fingers on the piano keys. Unbelievable. But it was a concert pianist from Russia who made that statement. But you say there's got to be a whole lot of shaking going on. Yes, you've got to go through Hebrews 12 to build Hebrews 11. That's you said that, and that's right. The whole lot of shaking going on is going to be before Hebrews 11, which means 12 will maybe 12 will precede 11. Good point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's going to allow that to happen. And the more you fight him, the more he's going to shake you. He is going to just allow you to be shaken and rattled and rolled, you know, and all that kind of stuff until you finally say, okay, I get it. I give up.
And proof of that is something I didn't consider until now. Proof of that is Job.
Yes. Yeah.
Think of that.
Yeah. Yes. The so very, very patient man that we talk about. Oh, he was so patient. Not really. You consider it patience when you're saying, you know, how dare you do this to me? It's not very patient.
But let's go back
when
to
God
the beginning.
Right.
I share with you that I have resented the way God treated me from like a time of 10 years old or 11 until the 90s.
Right. Yeah.
You hit a nerve ending here with me because this has been the one. What do you want to call it? This has been the one big problem that I've had with God that I did not, until I got into Scripture, it was only like 3-4 years ago that I confessed to God that I've had resentment towards him for allowing it. I mean, I've carried it into my 70s.
Yeah. Well, Carl, I shared with you a couple weeks ago. I mean, I had a whole lot that I had forgiven in my life and whatever, but I had some severe bitterness towards my mother, very severe. And that's even very recently. And I had to let it go. I had to let it go.
Well, I had that towards what my parents did, but ultimately, it was against God when I prayed.
Right.
And Raven, when I say I prayed, I mean, as a kid, I prayed as hard as I knew how. It wasn't recited prayers. And I'm thinking, why? And I thought all my life, God, how can I truly trust you when it's life and death, when you let me down? And I felt this way up till recently.
That's a good point, Carl. When we are bitter and angry and resentful against people in our lives, that bitterness is not really, and we have to realize this, that bitterness is not really against that person. It's against God for allowing it.
Amen. And that's what God, but Raven, I'm telling you, it's since the real confession that I made to God is probably in the last three and a half years. And I'm all going on 81. So let's say 80.
Yeah.
It's this albatross I carried, this resentful sin towards God I carried. See, that's where I was living in the flesh, the carnal nature, the sin nature, as a believer.
Repentance is continual, Carl. We should be constantly repenting because God is showing us all the time where this is why Hebrews 12 tells us, listen, if you are not being chastened, you're illegitimate. You're not his son.
Well,
you should be always being chastened.
Let's use the word that King James Version says. You are a bastard. B-A-S-T-A-R-D. King James Version.
Yep. Yes. Yes. Just like we talk about in James. James 1:2. You're going to fall into various trials all the time because that testing of your faith produces patience, and patience produces, let patience have its perfect work because it makes you perfect. What that means is mature in Christ, perfect and
right.
complete, lacking nothing. He is perfecting us.
Meaning completing us for all we need.
Yeah.
You know what? Unfortunately, we got to sign off. We got like 2.5 minutes. We could spend another hour and a half on this whole topic because all of us, Raven, deal with this topic of Hebrews 11 and 12. We do.
Yes.
Even as believers.
Yeah.
Well, next week
Let
we're going to start with eight. Yeah.
I want to say one little thing that we kind of started
Go
out
ahead.
In the beginning. As God is perfecting us, we need to see it and move on from the imperfect. We're to be holy, which means separate. So I don't care if you started out in, and I'm not going to pick on a denomination. So I don't care if you started out in one denomination when you were growing up, and now God is saying to you, listen, get away, listen to God, because I don't care where you started. God is trying to make a new thing in you.
And when is it
going
to end? It's going to end when we turn room temperature. We're going to be going through this for the rest of our lives. Okay, I've got to get serious. We got to knock off so I don't inconvenience the people coming after us. But folks, for those listening, we will pick up with Romans 8:29, and that's a very important verse because there's some heresy that is connected with not understanding what it's saying. So we will talk to you next week, 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, West Coast time, noon. And thank you for joining. It was a good addition you have. And
it was great today, wasn't it?
Pardon me?
I said it was great today, wasn't it?
Oh, fantastic. It's great because we're only sticking to the Word of God. That's what we got to be careful we don't stray from.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
I got one question.
All right, Kyle.
Folks, take care. Be good.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye.